and 13. And our head. And thank you very much, honorable members. From our side, we have only two apologies from our members. Honorable Maluleke is due to family bereavement. And then the other one is for Mamsonzi. don't know where is the apology of your minister.
Yeah.
Because
you know, sorry, Chair. There is a session in cabinet. So most probably the minister will start there and ask to be released to come here later. We're just trying to get hold of the chief of staff, and we couldn't get hold of her, but for sure we know there's a cabinet session. They're sitting right now.
I hope DM, you understand that how important that is meeting. And I think yourself, the executive members, we understand that you have responsibilities to go to attend cabinet. But I'm sure there are times where you need to prioritize sometimes, because your department also needs your presence. So I'm just raising.
I may indicate that I'm not feeling well from time to time. If you see me in and out, it's because of my health condition.
Okay.
The long and short, we have a bug in the family. The grandchild came back from school with a bug, and the entire family is affected.
Okay, no, it's fine. But you must consult, you must not contaminate me.
Pardon?
You must consult the doctor. So that
I did,
yeah.
And I'm under medication for all of that. But I had to be to respect the portfolio committee
and
the position I hold.
Yeah. Okay. It's fine.
Did we receive an apology from the minister through your office?
No, we don't.
Which is going to be a cabinet. Their report by that time, I'm hoping that she'll be here. But I think the gentleman that was here yesterday, is he not the one for dealing with the internal audit, or the somebody else? Is it? Because there was somebody, yeah, there was somebody yesterday.
He is the one responsible for internal audit in this time.
Because today we don't see him, or he's replaced by someone else.
So my understanding is that he was here just to get a sense of what were the issues yesterday, because there was that open invitation. But for today, we agreed in the department that to control the delegation, only key responsible managers must be here, and his responsible manager is Ms. Valma Tobin.
Oh, okay. Okay, not fine. So we were expecting minister at 11. Yeah. That's why in our PT I was raising a concern also.
that it's important that the minister must be here when they are presenting the report. Okay, we'll now hand over to the presentation by the Internal Audit and Risk Committee of the department. There's no need for an introduction, honourable members. I think we are familiar with each other here, except the office of the AG and yourself.
Yes, the chairperson of the office of the AG.
Oh, okay. And Ms. Lava from AG's office. And then our language practitioner.
Good morning, honourable members and the Deputy Minister. I'm Sitiwa Keso from Language Services.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Mrs. Tsaile from Language Services.
Good morning,
honourable. Parliamentary Monitoring Media, what? PMG or K? Okay.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Nancy Kelly Nazimi, AGDG, Department of Women and Children.
Good morning, members. My name is Shannon Clark. I'm from the organization called My Girl
Cup. Chair, I just would like to seek clarity on the document.
Last week, so she left to Eastern Cape on Thursday, and then the document arrived on Friday, and she was not at work already. So that's why she presented the document yesterday. So I want to apologize on her behalf because she can't apologize now. Because even myself, that's why I'm confused that why now are we receiving documents at this time. Midnight, I'm not even myself, I didn't even see the documents. So, my humble apologies for on her behalf. Because, for the first time that they gave us.
On my side, my obvious condolences to you, but I think, again, we had, as a committee, on many occasions raised the issue of documents that arrived the day before, and now we're going to have a presentation on this document that we received. I think it even came late in the afternoon, so I just want to then understand from that what exactly offers for this day while we. So we're going to listen to the presentation, and we're not going to be fully aware to apply our minds. I just think we really need to be honest with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, but I think the one that's more important is the one that we got from the AG's office. But as and when they make presentations, we must look at the AG's report also. I think this is for the last time. Next time we have, we must make arrangements with the organization so that she can listen to the information. Niren. Okay, honourable members, Kashifa is telling me that what this document entails is there in her own in their own analysis. Mm. They have covered it. That's what she's telling me now. Mm.
Yes.
Oh, you believe me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But in their own, we're not involved on the time. Yeah. We can start next.
Good morning, honourable members. And let me just first formally introduce myself.
Ufuna imaiki or Ufuna?
I think I'm loud enough, but I'll just take a few from the members.
Namongole, right?
Okay, but I can just have it in case, you know, my voice goes a bit soft. So let us first introduce myself. My name is Ayanda Mapuleka. I am the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee for the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. Chairperson, basically, this committee, Audit and Risk Committee, it is an independent and non-executive committee. That has been appointed with the Minister of Social 38 and Social 37. So we are independent from management or from the department. So we claim oversight role or responsibility as enshrined in Section 77. So whilst we are just waiting for the presentation to come up, the committee that I chair, it is constituted by five. Our persons, but we were appointed. So, Chair, we are a committee of five members, but to date we only have four members. So there's a vacancy in the committee. We were appointed by the department, by the DG, in consultation with the minister, the then minister. We took office from the 3rd of January this year. So we are about 9 months into our term. So our term is for 3 years. So we are an independent committee, and we work closely with the AG, the Auditor General, internal audit, because they're also one of our assurance providers in assisting us to discharge our governance oversight responsibilities, and we work with the department as well. So mainly we provide oversight, advice and guidance to the department on governance issues, risk management, internal control processes and compliance with applicable legislation. We also look into the ICT governance method. We operate within the ambit of our approved charter, which as the chairperson I sign, and as the minister also co-signs, which then outlines our people responsibility and the authority as well. So what is very key is that in the absence of the board, so we take that independent responsibility. Like before, our composition, we've got 5 independent non-executive members who are not employed by the department. We meet mostly on quarterly basis, and then we from time to time have special meetings. So we took office on the 3rd of January this year, and currently we just have 1 vacancy, where we have also just communicated with the office of the minister that the vacancy still needs to be filled. So we're looking into having in our committee someone with expertise or activism problem on women, youth and persons with disability matters. So I'm not going to briefly talk about our responsibilities, which is more of the oversight responsibility. As I said before, our main source of information really, it comes from the internal audit and the AG, who are our assurance providers. On a quarterly basis, we looked into, we process or we monitor or we deal with issues on financial and performance management, risk management, internal control and governance matters, compliance with legislation, and also specifically look also and monitor and track on the audit improvement action plan that will be presented to us by the department, and we deal with litigation and disciplinary matters in the department. So I'll come also just brief the committee on the consequence management matters as I take the committee through my report. So the presentation that was on our slide has also been presented. So I'll just also guide the members, on the page where I am. Okay. So, Chair, then allow me, Honourable Chair, allow me just to take the committee through the 2018-19 financial year annual report. Okay, you can just go to page 5. So there's where we are. Basically, we had a handover report from the old committee that their term expired in December 2018, and our term started in January 2019. So the handover report was also our basis of discharging our responsibilities and also monitoring the department on those matters. So for 2018-19, which came to an end on the 31st of March 2019. So this is what the view. This is our view as a committee on the report. The department received or obtained an unqualified audit outcome on financial statements as well as the performance information. So as a committee, we concur with the, you know, the conclusion of the AG on annual financial statement, because it is our responsibility to review the financial statements before they are issued to the AG for audit. And then we also process the audited annual financial statements and other relevant information, like the performance information. And where we do have concerns, but I'll just take through, you know, the committee on our concerns as an independent committee on the other, I mean, on the issues on the period under review. But safe to say that the unqualified, and we will have the unqualified audit opinion that the department received. So, for 2018-19, then I'll take you through, you know, the key management functions and activities that we played oversight on. And our issues and our conclusion on these issues were around the internal control. We worked closely with the internal audit on these issues, because they are charged with the responsibility to assess and assist on the internal control and environment of the department. So we are concerned for the period under review that, you know, the internal controls were inadequate and ineffective during the financial year. As well as even here, the AG will attest to that, because there were findings that were raised by the old auditor general. So as a committee, then we noted that, you know, some of the, you know, the drivers of the internal control, they really require an urgent intervention. So according to an independent assessment by the AG, you know, the internal controls drivers, except the audit and risk committee, they are concerned. So they need urgent intervention by the department. So some of the controls that we observed and we played oversight on, where we as a committee were of the view that it requires urgent intervention around leadership on oversight, especially around the implementation of the audit action plan, as well as the environment, the control and the environment on the ICT and governance as well thereof. So on the audit action plan, our issues were that the plan was approved very late, you know, for 17-18. And in my presentation, I'll take you through our serious concern around closing of the findings that were raised by the AG. So we picked up that the lack of, you know, leadership all concerned in making sure that the findings are closed on time. There were also issues around record keeping as well as monitoring of compliance on financial and performance management. This was also raised by the AG for 18-19. Members, also there were also issues on risk management. There were also concerns around risk management, though we are satisfied as a committee to a certain extent that risk management framework is being implemented. However, we are of the view that, you know, the risk management, the level of maturity on it is not at the level where it is supposed to be. So we are working closely with the risk management personnel, you know, in making sure that we get the department to where it's supposed to be. Yes, we have processed some of the policies. We've looked at the policies, plans, and strategies as well. But, you know, we are not yet there. So that is what also we'll be focusing on going forward. Also, the way we are satisfied as a committee to a certain extent that the web quarterly report that we submitted to the National Treasury on time, and we did look at this report, and we were satisfied with the content of the report. However, there was just one issue, or there was just one report, quarterly report, that was not submitted to the executive authority, to the minister. That was not approved by the minister. And I think the AG also picked the letter up, that also talks to the compliance issues. I just want to just briefly talk about the ICT environment, ICT governance. Honorable Chair, as a committee, we are very, concerned around the ICT control environment. We are also charged with the responsibility into, playing all oversight on the ICT. It starts with the governance. So the governance structures in the, the department has, they are not working or they are not functioning effectively. So, and we have raised this with the department and as well as with the minister, around that, because in the public sector, the guideline that was approved a long time ago for roll out in the, by the public sector, so the department has not fully implemented that. So we will be focusing on this issue. Also on the environment.
From where?
Sorry?
Guidelines were issued from where?
Oh, sorry, Chair, it was issued by the DPSA. So it is the guideline on the, it is the ICT governance framework, where all the departments and even the public sectors must adhere to. So it comes in phases. So we will also be focusing on that, because it talks to the ICT governance in terms of the systems, the function, the strategic, decision making in the ICT environment. Also, on the control environment in the ICT, we are very concerned. I think last year, in October, the system crashed. The environment was in disarray. So we have been getting now the progress reporting in the progress report on the restoration of some of the systems that crashed. The department still has not in entirety fully implemented login, which is also a concern, and we've raised it with the department on that. Then, Chairperson, if you can allow me to just go to the 2018-19 financial year, all of his opinion. As I said earlier, it is the department received an unqualified audit opinion, which we welcome, and we are hoping that in a not so near future, the department will also get a clean audit. But this is still a good outcome. So we are not taking our way from the department the good result that they recorded for 2018-19. However, around the financial statement, the department has capacity issues in the office of the CFO. To a certain extent, that we had challenges in submitting the unaudited financial statement, such that we had to have a special meeting just to get the annual financial statements that submitted, the financial statement that should be free of material error. But I must say, the submission was done on time eventually, and judging from the audit results, the annual financial statements, they were free to be free from material so I must then commend the department for that. But going forward, really, you know, this is the area that we'll be looking into. I'll just also take through the members on our recommendations as the committee. On performance information, the department, they're also unqualified on most of the programs that were scoped by the AG. However, there were material misstatements. You know, most of those misstatements were related to the inadequacy of evidence to support the reported achievement of the performance test again. And probably that was also raised by the AG. So eventually, after all the material misstatements were identified, the department got an unqualified. Let's say they were unqualified on those programs. So there's a lot of improvement here that still needs, you know, for the department to look into. Around compliance with legislation, also there were material findings on compliance, probably hence the department could not clinch the clean audit. The issues here were more around procurement and contract management. I will briefly touch on that one a bit later. And the expenditure management, that will talk about irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, consequent management and strategic planning. So we'll talk to that as well. And there are also issues around the internal control. I touched it earlier that, you know, the AG has indicated that there's an ineffective oversight by the leadership of the department, you know, regarding compliance with laws and regulations. So I'll just touch that one in detail now. So let me then go through the significant measures that I've also raised before. I've spoken to the ICT governance, so we are very concerned around that. The environment, as I said, you know, the production environment crashed last year in October. Luckily, the transversal systems that are being deployed by CITA, CICTA, those ones were revived. But, you know, there are still issues with the environment at the department. And it is a very high risk. We are very exposed. Difficult to understand why would the department only have one production environment, because that is not, you know, that is not an ideal situation. But I know that the management is working on this as well. The last report that we received was at least recorded progress in making sure that, you know, the environment is being restored. There's still also a concern around the business continuity, which is there. The plan is there, but it has not been implemented. The department is just exposed on here because should something have happened, you know. So there's a risk of continuity. So really, we have also just recommended to the department to ensure that, you know, they implement the plan. So far to say that even though they've got an off-site disaster recovery on CETA, but it is not yet fully operational, so which then talks to the non-in implementation of the plan. So we have recommended the following, and also as a core committee, we will be on a quarterly basis be tracking progress and monitoring such issues, because from the risk perspective, you know, this is very risky, and we are responsible to flag such risk to management, not only just flag the risk, and also, you know, monitor the implementation thereof. Other issues that I've mentioned around financial management is also cited by the report of the AG. It's on the unauthorized expenditure. Chairperson, you know, this issue has elicited a concern. The department has recorded about 29.5 million worth of unauthorized expenditure, which is very old. And we are really concerned, and we have advised, you know, the department as well, you know, to for the speedy, you know, resolving of this issue. It dates back to financial years 2011-12. And really, we will, we have pleaded with the executive authority here as well, just to intervene. So the department has really taken us through, you know, this issue, and they had written to the National Treasury to sort, you know, the condonement from SCOPA on this matter. So, but they have been, you know, constant follow up. Probably we'll just we have requested the minister to assist in trying to resolve this matter, because it is very, it's been long outstanding, and we really, you know, as the committee, we would like to see the financial statement of the department without this unauthorized expenditure. So we will report on the, you know, on the quarterly basis as well of where the progress is in dealing with this unauthorized expenditure. Then on the irregular expenditure, Chair, before I get too focused and wasteful, also the department has about or disclosed in the 2018-19 financial year irregular expenditure amounting to 33.8 million. And this is, you know, this irregular expenditure has been accumulating throughout the years, Chair. It is very also old. Dates back to as 2010-2011 financial year, so we are in 1920 now. Probably 8 years have really gone by. The root cause really for irregular expenditure is we have been cracking the whip on the department as well. We've looked into and analyzed the irregular expenditure register line by line item. You know, some actually we can say there are various reasons or various factors, you know, around the cause or the root cause of the irregular expenditure. But mainly it has been around the inadequate and ineffective processes and mechanisms to prevent and detect irregular expenditure. Probably the AG could have also raised this with the committee. Of concern to us, Chair, all this is this irregular expenditure. It is very, you know, it is long. It's actually been accumulating. Well, what is often is that when we interrogate some of these issues, we were not given full or confirmation really by the department that, you know, this irregular expenditure, whether it is free from fraudulent or corrupt or criminal act, if there were any disciplinary action taken against the responsible employees, if or whether the department did not suffer or suffered the losses, or if whether the non-compliance that such irregular expenditure has been addressed to ensure that such expenditures are not really carried out in the circumstances, because it has been accumulating year on year. So one of the interventions, and also one we have recommended as a department, I mean rather as the committee around this, Chair, the irregular expenditure framework that is very clear, and it came to effect last year. December, actually it came through this year around May. So it is clear how the department should be dealing with this, you know, this item in terms of there should be investigations, you know, and also through the process where the area of expenditure is submitted to the National Treasury for coordination. So as the committee, we are concerned that we are not seeing those steps, you know. Yes, it's just determined that, you know, it is irregular expenditure as defined, but, you know, post that, what happens? So we are concerned of that, and we will be, you know, also playing strong oversight on this. And also in the light of the new PAA, the new Public Act, Public Oil Auditing Act, which then, you know, sets out clearly, you know, the responsibilities of the accounting officer and so forth around this, how they will be dealing with such. So it's sitting at 33.8 million. So we will also be monitoring, you know, the registers as well going forward. But if actually one looks into this, and probably AG has also raised it, it is just a matter of we're not taken into confidence that, you know, the steps have been taken, the necessary steps to address this. So those were the report that you'll be looking into. For fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I'll just quickly talk to the 2018-19 financial year. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was recorded for 2018-19 was around 422,000 rand. So we will also be looking into that, because we also just want the departments to take us into their confidence that they are dealing with such issues, especially fruitless and wasteful. Unfortunately, by the definition of it, you know, so the consequence management would be around the recovery of this money, because it should not have been expended in vain. So we will be looking into those progress report, because there's also a framework around it, which is clear to say how the department must go around to address such issues. So then, Chair, let me just move over, which has become a concern, and I think we have engaged with the AG here as well on this matter, the matter on the deviation, you know, from the procurement processes and price variation. Let's just, you know, emphasize this. Deviations by its nature, they are allowed, you know, but they are allowed and there's nothing wrong with them, but they are a requirement for the deviations, that they must be approved, and deviations are not the norm. So what has been picked up in this department, and we have also just seen through the engagement of the AG as well. If I just give the stats, the department in 2017-18 had about 9 transactions of deviation, you know, which, I mean, you know, those are the consensus that would justify such. But in 18-19, there's been a significant increase from transactions of 9 to 57 transactions of deviation, you know. So that is a concern, because deviations cannot be a norm. So we have also looked into, you know, the nature of these deviations or these transactions. Yes, they are approved by the relevant person, but, you know, some of the reasons or the justifications, then, you know, we are concerned by those. So we find that most of these deviations, they are coming from procurement of catering, you know, for departmental events. But when one looks into this, it talks to just the lack of proper planning, you know, for the department, because for catering, really, you know, they seem not to have, you know, I mean, you can't understand why you cannot get 3 quotations at that time. So, you know, so we have recommended to the department to really improve on this and strengthen their planning to make sure that good and places are procured within the ambit of the law or the press script. So this is just around the, and we've engaged the AG at length on this on this issue. So this is what will also be monitoring throughout the year. So we have requested also the CFO to also update, you know, the register on deviations and give us, you know, the nature and the reasons why. And we are hoping that we are going to move from the 57 transactions to a reasonable number that is justifiable. Chair, I'm not going to repeat on the financial statements, but yeah, I mentioned before that here, we are happy with the product of, you know, the financial statement for 2018-19, but we are concerned of, you know, the capacity which then made the department to struggle to produce the complete financial statement for us to play oversight on, but it was just an issue on capacity. Okay, so we have recommended such to the department to make sure that, you know, we get our financial statements on time, and also just to capacitate the financial management team. The chair, just also the issue that we're concerned about that we've raised around the audit action plan, the so-called audit improvement action plan. Normally, what will happen is after the AG has raised our findings and issues, so the department of management will have to draft a plan or to think how they are going to resolve those issues and those findings to make sure that they will become repeat findings. Of concern for 17-18, the plan was prepared and approved very late, which was around February 2019, and the financial year end was September 2019 in March. So for 18-19, we have been very strong, and we have really instructed the department to have the plan approved a month after, you know, the AG has given them the, you know, the report, probably around August. So that it can go through the necessary, you know, internal structures in the department. We'll be looking into the plan before the end of the month when we meet as the committee, because we want also to avoid, you know, the 17-18, you know, how, you know, the implementation of the plan. Because of the findings that were raised by the AG, I think in 2018, they had about 56, only 32% resolved, which was just 18. So we will also then, also look into the 17-18 plan. So because, Chair, then this becomes a problem, because you still have a 17-18 plan of findings that has not been closed, you know, accumulating to the 18-19 financial year. So we have recommended to management on this one, and we will be looking into this plan on a quarterly basis and reporting progress thereof. And we are expecting that reasonably more than 75% of the findings should be closed by the end of the financial year. I touched on the supply chain related issues on the irregular fruit left. But here, Chair, we just want to flag as the committee that we are concerned by the capacity as well, human resource capacity in this area. This is a very risky area for the department. So they don't have, critical positions that have not been filled. One being of a director supply chain. So this unit is not operating at its full capacity. Hence, you will find such, you know, findings on your irregular expenditure and other non-compliance related issues, because we don't have capacity. There is the job director, supply chain, and the deputy director for SPM was on suspension for the better part of the financial year. So they were working on the skeleton, and where you find that the CFO has to be hands-on on this, and you know they were using the resources that does not have expertise in supply chain management. But I'm glad that also the department and the management, they are aware of these issues, and we have recommended as such to the department. Okay, Chair, the internal audit. This is the unit that we work as the committee closely with through. Mr. Shongwen is the head of the internal audit. I must say also the internal audit, it is working well, but the internal audit unit, it is working well. However, there is also an issue of human resource capacity. The department chair, it is sad because it has a very critical and an important role to play, because it is responsible for all auditing the control environment of the department. Such issues that have been raised, if the internal audit was also well capacitated, some of those issues would have been picked up and be addressed over on time. Now we are running a risk that this department, the internal audit unit rather, we are struggling with the fact that they are not able to complete their approved annual internal audit plan. Remember, when they come up with the internal audit plan, it is risk based. So we will look at the findings that have been raised or the issues that have been raised, and then they will then develop the internal audit plan. For example, procurement needs to be on that plan and so forth. IT needs to be on that plan. But we find that they don't get around to completing their annual internal audit plan due to capacity. Also, we have just flagged this issue as well, or this challenge with management, that they also lack the information technology audit expertise. Because also sometimes it takes a special skill to audit an IT environment. So we are really pleading with the department and also the portfolio committee to intervene on the human resource capacity issues. The department is has this challenge. Hence, it is difficult sometimes to a certain extent for them to execute their mandate.
Why is the intervene at Tinder when we are there? You are failing to intervene.
Chair, we will intervene as the committee to a certain extent. Remember also, we are an independent committee, so we are not operational. So it is for us, we can
Where are you based?
Sorry?
Where are you housed? Are you not in the department?
No, we are independent of the department. So in the public sector, where there is no board, then you will have this committee, which is an independent, non-executive committee. We are not part of the department at all, but we are just there to play oversight on such issues. Probably as much as we are not like the AG, but also we enjoy that independence like the AG as well. So it is for us just to flag this, if the department could be assisted as well, around the human resource capacity and the budget. I'll talk to the translator. And then on the strategic planning and reporting, I have cited this before. There were just one or two issues around, the non-compliance, with the policies around where the one of the quarterly reports did not go through the you know, the proper channels. And also what was cited as well, and what we have picked up as well, is that there's a lack of, you know, documented policy, or not documented, but clear, you know, policies around, you know, the procedures to ensure that, you know, all the strategic documents, be your strategic plan and the APT, are complied in accordance within the government pertaining practice. So this, the department is aware of, and this was also picked by the internal audit and the AGA report, that the inadequate quality assurance control procedures and inadequate audit train or proof that the quality assurance processes were performed by the relevant or responsible people. And hence, we found ourselves, or rather, I think the department found itself, you know, with material misstatement on their performance information. So we have also recommended to the department to, you know, to work on such to ensure that there is also an enforced the quality assurance procedures for quality and annual reporting processes. So, and we just also need to ensure that there's clear and proper policies on this. Chair, let me just, the last part that I just want to go to, it's also a labor relations matter. As I said earlier, we also look into the litigation and labor relations matters. Here at the committee, we are not operational, so we don't really delve deep, you know, on these cases because we are not management. But we are looking into these matters from the risk perspective as well, you know, and from the government perspective as well. So these were the misconduct cases, because now one of the, you know, I don't say topical rather, but important and element in ensuring governance is consequence management. So we look into these cases and where they are, because, you know, and these are the cases that the department then reports to us, that there were 5 cases of misconduct, you know, for that we looked into for during the period under review. Some they did not just start in the 1819, so, you know, they were still in progress on that. So there's one for the SMS, which was finalized and was not found guilty, and I think that SMS member is back at work. And then they as we've seen there. So for us, it is to just track consequence management. And most of those misconduct cases, the way, you know, they had to do with the compliance with procurement policies, procedures, and misrepresentation of the fact. Probably Chair and the honourable members, the department will give more information on those. For the period under review, there were 2 litigation cases that were brought to our attention. So we are also looking, you know, into that from the risk perspective. The department intend defending these 2 litigation cases. And I think they are with the state attorney. So, members, just lastly, we as a committee, we are also empowered by our charter to commission any or request or perform or even refer any investigations, you know, from the perspective as well. But during the 2018-19 financial year, there were no investigations that we performed. Hopefully that the issues that have been raised on the irregular expenditure and so forth, management will look into investigating those issues and then look at the report thereof. Lastly but not least, probably our concern is going back to the irregular expenditure. Our concern was that even though, even on the deviations, our concern was mainly on the fact that even though the department might not have, you know, suffered any financial losses and so forth, but, you know, such environment also creates an opportunity for corrupt activities to take place. So that is what we flag also to the department. Lastly, but not least, on the combined assurance, this is a compliance matter with King 4 and other press grid that the department needs to develop and implement a combined assurance framework, which then will optimize coordination of assurance provider services and functions in the department. So on this one, the department has really been hard at work in developing such, and then it will be presented to us for approval. That is the end of the presentation by the Audit and Risk Committee of the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
I have a problem, and my problem is if the department have got a committee where you are the chairperson, and there is perpetual transgression of EPFMA, GPFA guidelines, National Treasury guidelines, from all these years. I'm not sure when was your committee established, but I think as the portfolio committee we have a very serious concern. But also, what makes the department not to adhere to your recommendations? Why is the department, oh, you don't have to. So why should they have your committee when, even if your committee is there, there are still transgressions and I fail to understand. Maybe somebody must help me, maybe honorable members will help me. Because you can't be a crybaby to us as the portfolio committee. We must play our part in doing oversight, but also you must do your part. I'm not sure in terms of your processes, but I'm sure about our processes as the portfolio committee on what it is that we must do. But if you are there and all these activities in the department, they are continuously happening, then I have a problem. And even when you were presenting your report, I was listening to you and I was reading through your report, and I'm asking myself, maybe you'll help us and give us the answer. Your part is which one? And if Nina, as the committee, have made recommendations, why don't you make follow-up to ensure that the department implements your recommendation and guards against non-compliance? You are telling us that there are other posts that are not filled that are very critical, especially on the side, the supply chain. But you are doing oversight also as a committee. What is it that you have done in ensuring that what you have recommended, what you see as a priority for the department that they must implement, they do it? So at least if you were saying to us, you know, these are our efforts that we have tried in advising the department to implement, but you know, you give us a report to say these are the things that after these recommendations, this is what we have advised them to do, but also they did not, they disregarded what we have said to them. And it's like, to me, I need to be helped by yourself. Yep. Because you'll see when I say honorable members must talk, you'll hear from them. We've been having these activities, the non-compliance, the transgressions, from 2010, even yesterday, we were told that from 2010 up until now. So maybe you need to help us. Honorable members, Honorable Masiko, Honorable Mamkaula, any other hands? Honorable Mpweba, those are the only hands. Mam Temwa. Okay, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have thanked the Chairperson of the Audit and the Committee for the presentation that has been presented. I think, Chairperson, there are a number of concerns that one needs to raise, but I'm sure that I'll also be repeating some of the concerns that the Chairperson has raised, and again, the reports that we received from the Office of the Auditor General yesterday. And for me, most of the questions that I've had been will include why this. Because I think to a certain extent, as much as it has been admitted that there are areas or things that have happened, we still need an explanation as to how did we get there. The first why that I have, Honorable Chairperson, is the admittance that the committee was struggling to receive the annual financial statements from the department. Why was that? And I think maybe because the department is here, they are in a position to give us an explanation as to why were we struggling to produce complete annual financial statements to the Risk Audit and Risk Committee. The second question that I have is that from the 56 audit findings, how many of them have been repeat findings? And if we do have that analysis, because clearly in terms of the monitoring and the implementation of the action plan, I think there is a great concern in terms of that. So how many have we picked up? For instance, there is that I think that bank overdraft of from the 2011-2012 financial year, for me, it tells me that it's been a finding that has been there ever since. And it means there is some form of a non-adherence to implementation of the audit action plans that we're having. Why are we finding ourselves in that situation? The other question is that what has the department done to ensure that FCM officials are adhering to policies and procedures? Because clearly we are seeing that there is some form of non-adherence, but what consequences are there to ensure that, or maybe are we in a process of implementing consequence management for those that have shown themselves that they are really failing to adhere to FCM policies and procedures? The other question is that, did the department suffer any losses on account of irregular expenditure in kind? Or are we investigating? Because the report here states that we are not sure whether from this irregular expenditure that we have picked up, we have suffered any losses, but we've also picked up that we're not sure that we are free from fraudulent, corrupt or criminal acts, but have we suffered any losses from that? And then the last question, Chair, is directed now to the Audit and Risk Committee. And it's a question that you had asked yesterday to the Office of the Auditor General. Are we auditing or are we assessing the issue of if value for money? Are we following where the money is? Are we checking what the impact is? Is there a process of auditing such to just check whether the department is really putting money where the problem is and the problems are being resolved? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you for the presentation. I think I've got two questions from the committee. Now that we have also yesterday got a presentation from the AG's office, I understand there are issues that have been identified by the AG. My question to the committee is that, have you able to manage to change all the issues that has been identified by the AG's report? And secondly, have you able to approve your audit action plan by the AG's report, especially on the internal audit plan and the risk management, to avoid deviations and also underspending and also the unauthorized expenditure? And the second issue on the performance information, you have also indicated of the AG's report on misstatements. And then in terms of the whole department and what we've been raising as a concern as the committee, is your program 2 and program 3. That, in our view, we think that is the core function of the department. Now that there are those challenges, what are you intending to improve? Are you intending to improve as a committee itself? And lastly, Chair, I understand on the issue of the supply chain management, the report says to us there is a position that needs to be filled. And if I recall my mind, in the previous meetings it was raised by the same committee. And today there is a presentation of the same problem, that obviously it will always affect the smooth running of the department. And it always creates problems as indicated by the AG's report. You know, it's either there's unauthorized expenditure, there's deviations, there's overspending. What is the department intend to do as a member of agents to make sure that that position is being filled? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the report, but I have a few questions to ask. As my colleague said, we have in last meeting with the department, we have a concern of filling of the post or filling of the vacancies because there are need of that vacancy. Now we are in crisis of that. Two, we are very much upset about the non-compliance because if there is a non-compliance, somebody should take a decision of that non-compliance and be reported accordingly so that that will be solved. Because this department is the department of the whole world in South Africa. If there are one or two who is non-compliant, this one should be reported and be removed so that we can get someone who's going to do the work. The other one is in ICT. I wonder what is happening if the ICT has non-functional, meaning there is nobody who is working with the technology. That makes us very upset. Thirdly, I have one talking about, and why don't you make a follow-up as an independent audit in the things that you have seen that this one is going to make even the whole South Africa down? Why don't you make a follow-up of that? I thank you.
Ngibonga Sihlalo, ngibonga ne-president. Okunye angisezi ungena khona ngoba uza bethu already selekushiwo. Eke ngingene lapho nje ku-page 12. Ma ushona phansi ilokhuzana i-dot ESB. Mokala phansi uthi 1-2 ESB. Lapho okuvela khona ukuthi total number of auditor findings not resolved. Umbuzo wami ukuthi izolungisa yini le nkinga, and khona lapho kuvela khona futhi khona ezansi la ukuthi total number of auditor findings which management disagree with. Umbuzo wami ukuthi njengoba nina nani uqobo nithi anivumelane nawo, yiziphi izinyathelo enizithathile nizithathela lo mnyango noma lo muntu obhizi ogangayo uxhaphaza imanzi abakhokhi bempela? Ma uthi uyabheka la, kukhona nanga kuphezu lekini lana
lana kuvela khona
khona lana
ofela khona umuntu osasendiwa
mene 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 supply chain management
and
Ayikho into ebuhlungu ukuthi sizohlala la. Sihlalele into engenalo ikhanda, engenawo umthila. Abantu besifazane bayafa, ngiyababona bayafa. Bayafa ngisho. Izindlu abahlala kuzona azikho, akukho lutho. Angathi babili lento zomasanitary towel. Ayikho lento kodwa imali ziyaphuma kuthiwa. Mina bengithi ngesifuneni lana ukuthi sibe nabantu labazokwazi ukusebenza. Nina ma-audit ningabangiswa ingulube esesakeni. Ngoba into engibuka lapha nidlala ingulube esesakeni. Ngoba kusasa sizonikopha bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi lo muntu osaspendile uyahola. Maingaholi usaspenda isikhathi ulinganani. Ngempela ngempela yiziphi inyathelo athathelwa zona. Ngoba nale nto ukuthi uvele kuthiwa nisasifasiwek umuntu angiboni ukuthi hhayi isala lapha liyaea akabeboshwa abantu hlale banale nto abantu abantshontshi bakagavament bengaboshwa. Ibe ezinye zomthelela omunye untshontshantshontsha nhlondlo bekwenzeka izetiaaiseo yothi yambona umuntu usevuvalinto asula venani nisho ukuthi athina uminista thize uzosayinela imali iye lapha yangaya kathi yenta iyakhela ngoku bathiwakho bathi yakwazi nalokhu kuyenzeka usayinisa imali egcineni soshala wena la kanti kusama ukusho ukuthi uzoxoshwa emsebenzini ngenzeka ukuthi asipendiwe le mali nomkhuba phakathi. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Mam Khosi. And I think I want to speak to the Deputy Minister because we are here on behalf of the political accounting officers, I'm sure, and yourself and the Minister. I think it's high time that you must be held liable also for all the transgressions that are happening in the department, and under your leadership. Because you see, if as the portfolio committee, we are not going to hold you accountable, we'll be making a mistake. I think yourself and the minister, it's high time that you must be accountable. Because you are there, you are expected to be there every day, and whatever is done by administration, you are there overseeing whatever they are doing. And most of the time we'll say accounting officer, the DG, and you know, politicians, it's like they are giving a leeway of not being accountable. But from the look of things, when you look at the way this department is performing, as the chairperson of this portfolio committee, on behalf of the committee, I think you need to provide and show leadership in this department. There can't be a situation whereby a department has been engaging in activities that are not in line with the legislation. From 2010, unfortunately, some of your officials have been there in this department. And it's not that they are new. And some of these things they know. And there can be a situation whereby we'll be like you are singing as members of parliament. As a committee, when we make recommendations, we expect recommendations and advices to be implemented. But when there are challenges, we are expecting also the department to come back to the portfolio committee and say, you know, portfolio committee, we have a challenge here. you know processes where there are difficulties, like where there's money that was used by the other administration that has been recurring and recurring, that you must apply to treasury or whatever for it to be written off or whatsoever, whatever processes that is needed to be followed. But it's not done. Why? Because it will keep appearing forever and ever and ever. So that means your report, it will be like something that's continuous corruption or whatever, you know. So it's important that such things, where you see, this one, I think now you need to talk to treasury or whoever is responsible, by soon say, do it. Because you can't come to us every time and present a report, and then we make recommendations and make recommendations, but it's like nothing is happening. And people must be accountable. But you know, the problem that we're having is that when you have a committee risk and things are happening under their nose, you ask yourself, why should you have them if they can't even assist the department to correct things that are supposed to be corrected, and they are there? It's a problem. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
Now, question, I'm going to write my report up to department and also expenditure.
Okay, that means there are my question with Konyeswa separate, right?
Yeah.
There are those that the audit the risk committee must respond to, and there are those that the department must respond.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning. I think we accept what the chair is saying, that we should take responsibility and account clearly here as to the progress that we are making. We fully agree it's our responsibility, Chair. But maybe, you know, the audit and the risk committee, in all government departments, they assist the department to strengthen its system in such a way that by the time the AG comes to do the work, most problems would have been, the systems would have been improved, risk managed and prevented in such a way that they don't end up to serious findings. So, Chair, maybe before I take responsibility, I want to reflect on something, because we also want to take the advantage of this and turn around the tide. But I really got worried the way the chair was reporting. I said, if that's how they put it to the department, maybe the department won't understand. When it comes to IT governance, for instance, I wasn't sure whether I heard very well the report of the chair of the ARC. If I was reporting in that position, I would say maybe that's the area which is a disaster or it's a high risk. But you know that there is a way the chair was reporting that the department is progressing well, and then coming to an issue in a way that I felt if he was with management, they won't really get it, that there is a big problem here. So I wanted to flag that, Chair, before you respond. We will do our work. Certainly we take the responsibility. but we will really need assistance from the IRC to be much clearer and firmer and to a point about the risks that we must manage, because we are not technical people, but we can do the right things as long as matters are presented to us in a robust, cold and clearer manner. Because the whole idea is to prevent, is to make sure that we put measures in place to prevent these things. I'm saying this, Chair, so that the Chair of the IRC must understand. In some departments, this ICT problem, sometimes it has got huge financial implications. But if we put it here in a lukewarm manner that the committee doesn't understand, it will never reach a point where it's addressed at a high level. It's a serious problem if the department are not capacitated to fully have technology, the right technology, and the right systems to manage the technology of the department. It affects everything, even audit, procurement, and everything. So I wanted to raise that as an issue, because from the priorities, that's one of the areas that they flag and they talk to. The difficulty in presenting financial systems, I don't know how the committee works, but in my view, if they are deadline set, they are usually non-negotiable when it comes to the deadline for financial reports. And we will do our part if the Audit and Risk Committee has guided the management in terms of saying this must happen by this and this must happen by this. And it's our responsibility to ensure compliance. That's why I wanted to flag this maybe before the chairperson of the ARC respond to the overall questions. That's really what I wanted to flag broadly. But accepting that we have to turn around the tide. That it's a top priority for ourselves as well. And I'm sure I'm saying this on behalf of the minister as well. That, you know, we don't want a repeat of this when we come back next time. So the internal audit, the independent ARC, they should all really be unambiguous when they present problem areas to us. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, and I think my last one is, when you look at your report in page 10, on irregular expenditure, you are saying in paragraph 1, but the last sentence, the following aspects were not confirmed on majority of irregular expenditure transactions incurred by the department. Why? Page 10. Mbusa yen. Report, yeah. Yes. But they say this is what they, on other significant matters. Literally. All right, you can respond.
Thank you so much, Chairperson and the Honourable Members, for the question. And I will try to
as best as I can. Let's just start with the comment that the chairperson, you know, opened with when she opened the questions, you know, to the members around that, you know, there have been issues that have been flagged by the risk and by the audit and risk committee as I presented them today. To say, you know, there are these issues, but the all audit and committee, risk committee, what's happening, and the answer is that, you know, do we have tools or whatever the issues, I mean, you know, all of those, what is our role? So, Chairperson, let me start here. The audit and risk committee, you know, I'm not going to really rehash, you know, the charter and so forth. As I said, audit and risk committee, it is an independent, non-executive committee. What are our role, really, is to come and assist the department by guiding them and advising them, and you know, and when we advise, we play oversight on these activities, and we monitor and we report, you know. So, and the reporting is what I have also done here, and we meet on a quarterly basis as the charter detects. But if they are actually critical and crucial and urgent matters that we need to, you know, to play oversight, we then will have the special meetings to, you know, to look into those matters. In a sense, I mean, as the committee, that, you know, we want to see this department, you know, improve. And I mean, the level of expertise that we have in the committee, they are sufficient. You know, most of us got experience in the public sector. You know, we have dealt with the AEG. We are the accountants, we are the auditors. So we really understand the work of the committee should be doing. However, we have been entranced because we are independent. So as much as we advise and we guide and we push, we report, we are harsh at other level, but we cannot be operational. Coming to if we have the tools or not. Unfortunately, you know, the authority that we have, you know, as far as our charter allows us, is to, you know, is to monitor and flag, and we report to the authoritative, you know, structures as well. Like, you know, we meet with the executive authority where we table our report, and now we are here at the portfolio committee. So as much as we recommend, we cannot then go and implement our recommendation. Management. It is the department that must implement that. Yes, unfortunately, how we, you know, if we are really not happy with the implementation and the progress, one is to flag it and to report it strongly to the executive head. You know, and if there are also issues, that, especially on the non-compliance with the treasury regulations, to write to the National Treasury and said, as an independent committee, this is what we expect, this is what we are not happy with. Obviously, we do that also through the accounting of officers, because we are there to advise and guide them. In terms of, you know, the powers of the institution, we might not be as powerful as the AG, because now they've been empowered, you know, in terms of the new Public Auditing Act. They're even able now to issue, you know, administration. So for us, it's more of times to report such and also just follow up on those. Coming to that, we do follow up. We do follow up. This committee, the department has been having the audit committee you know, even in the previous years. So for us, we have just been appointed in January this year. So Helen said that I really stressed upon the, you know, the department to give me, and I did get the committee as well, the handover report from the previous or on this committee of the issue, you know, that they've picked up and they've, you know, and they've played over such responsibility on in the bank. Now, Chair, we are not the committee that wants to moan and be the crying baby, and we don't act. So we act even during the meetings that we have, and we act also through the engagement that we'll have with the minister and also the executive head of the department. The honourable member who has just stepped out has asked about six questions, five questions. I'm not sure, Chair. I'll be guided by you to say, do I defer those questions until the member is in the room, or I can just respond to those questions? So, Chairperson, I will take your guidance. Can I just respond to those questions?
Yeah.
You even though the member that was asked the question.
She went to a doctor.
Oh, okay.
She'll be coming back. She went to a doctor.
Okay. So I'll just...
She's supposed to do operation. So yesterday I advised her before she does that operation, she must get a second opinion. So that's why today she's going to the doctor.
Thanks, Chairperson. That is noted. Some of the question was around why the department struggled to complete the act, the unofficial statement. I am finding that even in my presentation that, you know, there are actual capacity issues in the department. Yes, they are set deadlines, and I mean we plan such activities well in advance, and when we meet to review, you know, the annual financial statements, we do that well in advance. Chair, here why we had to have another special meeting to also look into this. Remember, as the committee as well, as much as we're independent, we want to guide the department as well. So we wanted also to ensure as the committee that the department submits, you know, the annual financial statements that are free of material errors. You know, so hence there was that also, you know, the delay, but the deadline was met, Deputy Minister, around the annual financial statement, because we were guiding them. We were not comfortable at the date that we met with, you know, with management to review the annual financial statements, that they were at the level that we can submit for the audit. So I must say we also ensured that, you know, the deadline they were set, and we have recommended and will follow up with you know, the department, and also ensure that, you know, this does not you know, become a challenge in the following financial year. Hence, we have recommended and we will be monitoring that as well. So the department generates the quarterly annual financial statements so that they get into that mode of preparing the annual financial statements, so that by the time they have to consolidate for the whole year, you know, they are done on time, because that is what the department has been doing on the quarterly basis. And that has been received very, very well. We'll be sitting for our quarterly meeting before the end of October. Those are the areas that we'll be looking into, because today we are the audit committee that wants to see the department progress on such areas. So the number of findings that were the repeat findings, I think that the member was concerned and was asking that the 17-18 audit action plan was not fully implemented. Hence, there were only 32% in implementation of those findings. So I hope those 17, 18 previous findings, which ones were the repeat in 18, 19. On that one, I would request the CFO in terms of, you know, probably she might have the number of those. But it is safe to say, you know, some of the repeat findings were also around supply chain, you know, as they've been flagged as an area. But it might not be, you know, the exact, you know, nature of it, but it's also, you know, around the area. That part of the CFO would be specific and be detailed around that. Even on this one, I would just reflect high level. The member asked, what has the department done to ensure that every employee, you know, or rather to ensure consequence management? And I think in the department report, this will come out, you know, clearly. But in my presentation, there has been, you know, some consequence management. Even looking at the deputy, the director for supply chain management, that was on suspension for the better part of 2018-19. So there were those, you know, issues where they were addressing some misconduct by the employees. So probably then the department can provide details on that one. Then I'm just going to take these to the next one, those two together. Around the department suffer losses on irregular expenditure and so forth. When you look into my report, Chair, you were also spot on. That was page 10, Chair. Thank you so much. Yes, that is from page 10. You know, Chair, on the irregular expenditure, as the committee we had and the handover, and there were documents just to induct ourselves, look at the previous, you know, AG's report, those issues, what were the issues of irregular and so forth. So as we're inducted on that and we engaged with the department, the department at that time, and the CFO will attest to this, we had not got signed of the irregular expenditure register. That's when then we requested the department to give us irregular expenditure report, and we go through line by line item of these issues. Now, unfortunately, we do know, you know, all the transgressions. But the progress in addressing that, it is not yet there because, you know, for once we have recorded the contravention on irregular expenditure, there should be an investigation, you know, that needs to be conducted, you know, which then that investigation will then determine and the outcome be. Did the department suffer any financial problems? Were there any fraudulent or, you know, or corruptive activity? And what was the consequence management and so forth? So that is where, right now, I also responding to your, to the page 10, why that was not there. It is because, you know, the detailed investigation has not been, you know, that has not been done as the framework dictates. And this is what also we will be reining on, because you cannot keep, you know, reporting such, but you are not implementing the framework as it's supposed to be. Because at the end of the day, you need to know all of those transgressions, you know, do they need to be referred to such? Do they need to, you know, to be referred to the National Treasury for condonation? There are steps there. So and even in our recommendation, we have even identified, you know, actually with, you know, the material ones, according to both of the capacity also by the internal audit, to say, can you conduct investigations on this? You know, so, you know, because even the framework is clear to say the internal audit function must, you know, must conduct individual investigation. But if there is also, you know, other relevant unit in the department that can do such, then they can do that. But I think as a committee we have tasked the internal audit to assist the such. And even our charter does also empower us chairperson that we as the committee we do have the authority to even request or commission an independent investigation. But chair, you know, you need to have the basis for the plot. Then once the department has done their internal investigation, then based on the outcome, probably the committee would have to look into that if, you know, their concerns. And also we are empowered by the National Trade Regulation as well to say, you know, there are authoritative structures that we can report to. So trade, we can even report to the minister, which we do engage and reflect these issues with the minister. One of the questions that we were asked by the member was challenges. Okay, on the program, I think they were also raised by the honourable member there. Have we been able to address the issues raised by the AG as a committee? We are responsible in monitoring the resolution or the addressing of these issues raised by the AG. It is the responsibility of the management to implement the recommendations of the AG or of the issues raised by the AG. But we as a committee, we must then monitor and provide oversight on those, on the management implementation. So we do that through the audit and action plan, which will be tabled on a quarterly basis to us, and we will be holding management to account, with budget to account, to make sure that those are resolved. We also have a vested interest as a committee where we want to see the department resolving these issues, you know, and you know, improving the control and environment. Hence, the letters will also want to be strong as well. That the department probably will have to talk to the filling of the position. We have highlighted that as well, but unfortunately, I've said in a very independent committee, we cannot be involved in the operations. You know, we have identified the risk, you know, in supply chain, and the root cause is some of the positions that are not the capacity issues, and the department will give progress up that. And I mean, we have discussed with management some of the ways. We know that budget is also an issue, and also the delay in the recruitment process could hamper, you know, the filling of this position. But I know, I mean, management has reported good progress to us on the filling of this position. They sometimes use it contractually, you know, to address the capacity gap. Chair, almost done with the question. So there was also the questions that were raised by Honourable Mamshengwa. I think those also talks to the filling of the vacancies. Management will then give details of all of that. But we are also just saying, I mean, we are also monitoring the progress there. They do report to us. And in this position, probably the CFO would access to that. They even go as far as getting someone on a contract basis, because we have raised that as a high risk, you know, for, you know, the capacity issue. And this was also raised, the non-compliance by Mamshengwa, that, you know, the concerns, you know, about the non-compliance issues that have been raised on procurement. As a committee, we are more literate. when I say we will be monitored, it's not about the tick box exercise, you know. Even, you know, we will even go to an extent where we will, you know, request additional information, additional report for you know, for the department to come and, you know, and report to us. Yes, we are empowered by our charter to have access to any information that we request. But however, as I say, we are not limited, but we cannot also be, you know, all operational because we are not all on a daily basis. And I must say, in the department, it is cooperative to us to advance additional information or even additional reports for us to be able to defend our own right. So one of the issues I'm saying is that I've raised is that the general compliance will be strong on monitoring on the track, and not only and I advise and see how and I guide them and make sure that, you know, they resolve such issues. I'll take the ICT question and also in conjunction with the statement by the Deputy Minister. That is noted, the Deputy Minister. We will really try to improve as the committee how we report or the manner of our report. Yes, you are right. I take cognizance of the fact that not most of us are technical people. So the issues that we had, when I say non-functional, the ICT, you know, environment or the ICT government around non-functional. For us, where we are worried as or concerned as the team is, you know, the department has come up with a structure to, you know, to address or to rein in on the ICT government related matters. They do have an ICT steering committee. So probably where I might not have been clear was we reflect the concern that, you know, the this structure has not been effective. When I say effective, in terms of they've not been meeting as regularly as they're supposed to, and also just you know, send reports to us for us to also, you know, play oversight. But the last meeting that we had with the department, they just been in progress and they've been meeting. So this also we will then monitor the function of this committee. Not that it is not existent, it is there. So we just have to get it running as smooth as possible. Around the control environment on the ICT, Deputy Minister, your concern was around that, the assistance that the committee must discharge or give around this area. We will really, and we have, and I believe that we have been giving the assistance on this through our recommendations, because if we can get the ICT steering committee, you know, if effective, even our assistance will be, you know, evident around ICT. Yes, I flagged it as a high risk area because, unfortunately, some of the responsibility or functions of the department are all automated. For example, I made mention of the fact that, you know, LOGIS is not fully implemented, which then affects the supply chain unit, because that is the system that is used for generating purchase orders and so forth, where the automation on the SDM activity is residing. So I take note of the lukewarm manner that report as the committee, and maybe, you know, we were being unambiguous, you know, around, I mean, when we reported over the ICT area. We take note of that.
and we take that also as a constructive criticism, and thank you for that. Lastly, Chair, but not least, one the question I addressed page 10 of your question, and then the member Mamhlengwa, I think, also as no Mankawula, sorry, Honourable Mankawula, ubuzile lana nge o page 12 ngama findings that were not resolved. And that's a good question, because for 2018 we only resolved our issues to our 18 out of 56. Our 18 has still not been resolved, but I can show you.
And they resolved 18.
So they resolved 18.
So that's 38.
So 18 out of 38 has not been resolved, and then let's talk about 9, and just get to the number, let's talk about 914, Lawa that were are partially resolved. Let's talk about the 9.
Partially,
yeah, in progress.
8G, which is partially, not achieved. So are you calling?
Okay, so Chair, when we talk about resolve and not resolve, yes, you are right. It's either you have resolved it or you have not resolved it. Yeah. But I need to see now when we are monitoring if progress. So you see, Kukona Lena that you have resolved it green, so done. Let's talk about Lena yellow when it is still in progress. You know, you have done 1, 2, 3, but you are left with step 4 and 5 to close it. Yeah, boy. So, but yes, Jonah, in essence, you have not fully resolved it. But we do, you know, give implementation and the patch in the back say at least they've started working on it, which is the progress. Let's talk about now when it has not been resolved. Yeah, but I don't have a study. Let's talk about when I get where I fix, where, you know, management disagrees with the AG. So, Mankawula, Ubuze, why it should be. Lena, our 18, I'm going to resolve. Now, let me just also state as well, this report, it is as far as the findings are concerned, it is up until the 31st of July. Right, so we are going to get the progress update before the end of October from management as well, where, you know, they will give us the process. As of the 18th, now, have they started or not? Because how did the process work, Chair? You know, they will work on these findings, but we still have the internal audit to come and test, you know, and check for us. If, you know, if this 18 or these 14, they are saying this progress, this is deep progress, no, but check us, you know, every day they test and then end. So that when you say it's done, we are happy that it's done.
I'm sure we must help you. When you come to the portfolio committee, let's then start the 99. We don't want to be part of that. See, now when you come to us, report to us whether it's achieved or not achieved.
Then that is noted. So today, you can say then, what has not achieved, including those who are in progress, they are paid. So, Mankawul, you know, those ones that are not being resolved, when will they be resolved? So we are really pushing that they get resolved as soon as possible. We will get the report from the department. So we flighted that as well. And then the ones where the department disagrees with the AG, probably the CFO will also, you know, rain on that one. Bona kuye kwenzeke mamkhawula ukuthi yabona kungabonakali ngesothi mhlampe u-AG uyibona this as uyelo
that the department is border is purple, full of in terms of the match, which is not wrong. So where would be in here if you don't agree on the finding, because then how are you then going to be able to, you know, address those? So I will then here rely on the CFO just to give maybe the members the assurance as to how they will deal with it. Obviously, that will also be reported to us before the end of October, how they will address those ones. Those were the questions, Chairperson, and I think I have I addressed all of those. Even the others on page 13, Mankaul, Honorable Mankaul, those ones they will be responded to by, you know, the department around the deputy, the director of supply chain, ukuthi suspended the subcontractor in a corner. But I think you'll give more details on the that one and where the case is. So Tina, as the committee, you know, we check for consequence management and is that official one is suspended around, you know, the compliance issues, the procurement issues, of which some of them, you know, to a certain extent we are around irregular expenditure or the misconduct.
Okay.
Mankaul, are those were the questions.
Number nine.
Unauthorized expenditure. He got 27.9 million. It is an old matter, Mama Kaula. There was 2010-11. The process is that Mawenzeke was actually an unauthorized expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure must be presented, must not happen. So if there were circumstances that resulted in unauthorized expenditure, obviously the department would have to investigate that, but you know, who caused it, and were there any, you know, malice activities around that, then back when the report, through the National Treasury to apply for condonation of unauthorized expenditure. So Mankaula Lena, the money e department is not of Kuluma Mahayuji, what all story against Bani, what when they join, because what we have seen as a committee is that the difference is this matter has been, you know, referred to the National Treasury for condonation, or rather to scope through the National Treasury for condonation. So our content, we have been monitoring, the feedback from the National Treasury. But though we have also, we have availed ourselves just to assist in fast-tracking the process, and also we have requested, we have asked, you know, the executive authority to intervene as well in making sure that this process is fast-tracked. So the department would then just give full details of how the matter came about and you know, who was responsible and what is in the motivation for condonation. Ngiyabonga. Ngicabanga ukuthi ngiwaphendule wonke imibuzo. Ngiyabonga mhlawumbe.
I just have one question. I feel that you are severely underplaying the report. I feel that you are severely underplaying the report that you presented in the response that you have given. I don't know if you can hear me. number of issues that have been raised in the report, your report in particular, that I feel warrant grave concern. Warrant grave concern. And I think we'll have the opportunity in the committee to ask these questions to the department. But I really feel that as a committee, ARC, there's a number of issues that are being raised in the report. For example, contradiction between what the department is reporting versus what the AG has found. That points to untruth, contradictions that speak to the department informing us one thing when in fact it's not accurate. Targets that are stated to be achieved when they are not achieved. I think those are grave concerns that I really believe should warrant a better response on your side to respond to these issues. And just reading in terms of reasons of the ARC to oversight, advise, and provide guidance. But as you've also indicated, there's more action that you guys are able to take in being able to investigate. But I think when the AG is stating that the department is telling us that targets are being achieved when in fact they're not, that warrants concern. I think when the AG picks up that there's irregular expenditure within the department, that is picking up unauthorized expenditure within the department, that warrants great concern. I think when line managers within the department are clearly not following protocols and internal control, that warrants concern. I think when procurement and contract management within the department is in disarray, that should warrant concern. So I don't particularly feel in this presentation that, you know, we've taken up these issues in the manner that they need to be taken them up. And I just want to ask one question on the record for you, is that based on your presentation and your report, do you not feel that there's further action required on your side as the committee? Do you feel that the action that you've decided to take by making recommendations to the department is sufficient? And if you do feel that it's sufficient, and looking at all the information that you presented, and I can go through it, I'm not going to go through it, but I think we've all heard the presentation, we've all heard the issues that have been raised, we've all heard the issues with investigations within the human resource. And when you consider it holistically, as an independent body, that is really legislated, as you pointed out, that you're an independent body that that is within the accordance of the PFMA independence. Do all these issues not warrant more action on your side? And I think the committee is, for me, at this point saying that the recommendations that are being made by your committee are not sufficient. So what actions are going to be? So just to be clear on the question, on all the issues that have been raised by yourself, by the AG as well, do you feel that the action you've taken is sufficient enough? Two, do you feel that there is more action required within your office? As pointed out within Section 38 or Section 1A, do you feel that there's more that can be done? And lastly, it's also stated in this report that there's no investigation that has been forwarded to the committee itself. I just want to go to the point. Do you think that you guys could be able to take on this responsibility based on on your own outcomes from your engagement with the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member. Okay, I will just sum up, you know, my response in this fashion. Your question when you ask about do I feel that, action that we have taken, as a committee, it is sufficient and it is more action and. Let me start by saying this. This report, it is not all and, it is not just this report, then, the work of the committee, it is done. As I said, we came to the office in January, the activities that we have proceeded on, in the short space period of time, and the recommendations that we have made, they are not just going to turn the department, around overnight. And your question around if more action needs to be taken in ensuring that we guide and we assist the department in turning around and addressing the issues. I cannot say, and with certainty and with confidence that what we have done so far is enough. So hence when we get appointed as well, we get appointed over a term, a specific, a term to also assist the department in making sure that they get to where they are. There's still more action that we need to do as or to perform as the committee in working with the department in addressing these issues. And I must also put it on record that the issues that we have highlighted, we are not taking them lightly, especially the non-compliance issues, because that is also when you talk about non-compliance, it's about non-compliance with the legislative framework, which as the committee, we don't take lightly. And obviously, the AG, they don't take it lightly, and they have raised. And I believe that even the department, they are not taking it lightly. Hence, it will also be, upon themselves to make sure that they resolve these issues. Around some of the investigations and so forth, I did also cite earlier that our charter also empowers us to investigate matters. For 1819, remember 1819, first financial year ended in March 2019. And then we allowed for the audit to also unfold. Hence, there were also issues that were raised. So, as the committee, we'll also go back and not just say, having these issues have been raised, and with engagement with the department and the minister, obviously that will also then inform as the committee what else and what more can we do. So to the long and short of it, and in essence, our work does not stop with this report, and we do take seriously on the issues that have been raised. So with this report and the committee, I can assure the portfolio committee that we are the committee that also wants to see these issues being resolved, because they are not only just for the department but also in the past, because we do have an interest in seeing, having the clean administration. So thank you, Chair. That will be my response. Thank you.
question is not to be clarified.
Mami, are you?
So in beginning of starting the investigation, the initial document or initial wrongdoing, or whatever the case might be, that informs the investigation to begin. So my question is, based on the document that has been presented here, is this not necessitating an investigation to be done by your committee? There are grave issues that are being raised, concerns that are being raised by you. And do you not feel that that is enough for you to begin that investigation? What further must be awaited on for you to be able to act, when in fact you pointed out the issues, grave issues, corroborated by the AG's office, it's there. So what else are you waiting for to continue? Because I think here we mustn't conflate the issue of investigations that are being conducted by the department on officials, the line managers that have acted in an improper way, versus the findings that are being made within your report relating to issues of contradictions, financial contradictions, improper contract management and proper enforcement of internal controls. We also know that there's 30 million rand that has been lost to unauthorized expenditure. There's 27 million rand in unauthorized expenditure. Then there's also irregular expenditure as well, which is also in the media. So I'm asking, what more is required in order for your office or for your committee to be able to take action, when in fact your own report, supported by the AG, is stating there's something that should be done? Lastly, you also agree with me to say that you don't feel that there's insufficient, sufficient enough action that has been taken. So in the same sense, or in the same breath, we say that, well, we need to speak to the minister, we need to engage, but also at the same breath say that we haven't taken sufficient enough action. So which one is really being, it can't be both, it has to be one. Is it not enough action, not sufficient enough action, or we still need to do further engagement with the minister, and we need to await the investigations that the department now, in order for us to continue with our work, it can't be both. So I think what I'm saying here is that the document in itself is enough to, as you pointed out, within your charter for you to investigate.
Honorable member, let me try to assist of just going back to the basics. Most of the issues that have been raised are here, and actually the non-compliance issues, as I've submitted in the report, most of them boils down to unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, process and wasteful expenditure. Those are the key, non-compliance issues. So I'm not going to look at the strategic issue. Now, so in dealing with these categories of the non-compliance, there is a legislative framework, that sets out how such things need to be done. So by the mere fact, or even getting the AG's report to say the finding on irregular expenditure, it is just not that the committee or whoever must just do the investigation, because there is a process. So one of those processes is, you know, the department is key, because it has been identified, or even suspicious irregular expenditure or these categories of non-compliance, then they must be assessed, they must be investigated internally by an independent unit in the department. Investigate and have then get an investigation report based on the outcomes of the investigation. There could be three categories that would be outcome would be one. Among the things that they look into is, you know, the irregular, who is the court, who is responsible for irregular expenditure, or those non-compliance. Number two, did the department suffer any financial losses, you know, due to the non-compliance? Number three, whether, you know, this compliance, does it relate to fraudulent, criminal, and, you know, corruptive activities? So in that legislative framework, that has that the National Treasury has, you know, it even gives it is very clear and explicitly to say, if, you know, these are the outcomes, this is what the action that should be taken. Some of those will be, you know, if there are criminal activities or corruptive and fraudulent activities, it has to go to staff and either, you know, or the authority. It is the accounting officer must even open a case. If there were no financial losses, if there's no financial loss and whatever, this is what the selection is taken to be taken. It's even before the committee, even other government structures could have been, we will need that report. So based on that investigation report on each case of this irregular expenditure or this non-compliance rather, then as the committee, that's where then we are empowered to say, based on, and especially also who in implicated. So it might be a financial officer, it even can be the accounting or officer as well who might be implicated in those non-compliance. And it is also clear to say, if that's the case, how do we report as the committee, the Treasury Regulation 27.11, where then it empowers us to say, how then do we, you know, do it. But as the committee for any non-compliance, you don't just commission, you know, investigation, but there is a process mapped out, you know, around that. And having said that, by us not have taken the action of investigating that, because there should be, you know, internal process that needs to unfold, then, you know, we will then be, you know, be guided by the report. So hence, we're not talking about the action, about more action. It is not about investigating whatever action, but it's more to say, let's pressurize the department, even through...
Pressurize the department? What was he asking also? Do you pressurize the department?
Yes, through your chair. We do pressurize the department. And really, even in our meetings and the minutes are there, where we request this, we want this thing done, and the department has been receptive. And I must say, even when we pressurize, remember, we do not only pressurize at the management level. We will even engage with the minister. The minister is very receptive, and she's appraised of such matters, you know. I have engaged with her, and she's appraised, and she's just gonna also work on these issues, you know, with the management. So the action here, I just want to also emphasize that the action is not about getting this report or getting the findings from the AG. Then we investigate, because we also allow, you know, the processes that should be that should take place to take place. So from our side, just make sure that those actions do take place. Thank you, Chair.
have one question. In your report, you state. No. Something the but I wanted to check with regards to my findings that the ICT network server funds that were not used yet the server crashed in October 2018. Is that thing resolved or what?
Hello. The server. So the server crashed around October 2011, and then by March 2019, the procurement process needed to unfold. Then more details will come from the CFO, such that by March 2019, there were funds that were still not utilized because it came to an end. Closed the financial year while some of the procurement processes were taking place. But to answer your question, we did get the report in June, right? There is progress and positive progress around some of the restoration, because when it crashed, the entire infrastructure was affected. So as they restore. They will restore servers, they will restore backups, they will restore this and that and that. So we did get the progress report that has been restored. It might not change, but here I also said to be corrected. It might not have been restored 100%, but some of the modules or some of the elements, they have been restored.
Mama, so if you get lazy, we have to Rafaela, and it's not something in. So this, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I've been listening to your responses, and if I'm very honest with you, it sounds very defensive for the department. Now, when you say that you give recommendations and you're there mostly throughout the year, when quarterly reports are being tabled, when annual reports are being tabled, you're there and you're giving recommendations for the department to internally deal with. But there are many recurring issues that continuously keep coming up. So it seems that the department may not be taking your recommendations into account. So what do you do there? For example, the old side debt. It can all get and it continuously recur, but yet there's nothing being done about it. I mean, from the inception of 2010, you have these issues of 2019, but it seems as if nothing is really happening. So how exactly can you explain that? And is it sufficient enough just to give the department, oh, here you go, this is what you need to do internally, please get it done. Where's the follow-up? Where's the ensure to make sure that they're actually implementing your recommendations? And how does that work?
Just to add, sorry, Chief. I think this is a very important point, so that I also have clarity as a member of this committee. When you say that there are investigations that the department must do, there are processes that are legislated, I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. Of course, they are approved. That must be followed. But here again, we're talking about issues that have continued for quite a number of, you've received the legacy report. The legacy report must have informed you at some point that these issues that you have to deal with in this past financial year are issues that have been within this department for quite some time. So at what point do you then say that historically the issues that I'm dealing with within this financial year have happened previously in the financial year, now the financial year? And at what point do you then say that, well, these issues are being investigated by the department, but yet they've been happening for quite a number of years. So when do you act? At what point are you able to then say, I'm now going to take action? Because when you look at a department review, you can't only look at that particular financial year. It's historical, so you have to follow the golden thread. right? Because it's amazing, good and well, for us to have presentations to say, well, we came from a qualified audit, and now we have an unqualified or clean audit. This is the history, and this is how we've taken the department forward. But we can't do that historical tracking when it looks at corruption, or when it looks at irregular expenditure, when it looks at different aspects within the department. So let's be consistent. So the point that I'm saying that when we say recurring, which is what the department says we need to report, which is what the agency needs to report, which is what you are saying in your report, that there's recurring issues within this department, at what point do we then...
Yeah, I'm not a scholar, and we want to make a recommendation, especially on your on the work that you're doing as a risk and audit committee.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'll just handle the question. You know, simultaneously, because you know they are more or less, you know, talk to the same thing around, you know, as a committee, what are we doing? What has been our intervention, you know, around this recurring issue? First and foremost, honourable members, it is not this thing the committee, the audit and risk committee to be defensive. Or, you know, we are, as I've said, we are an independent committee, and we don't want to defend the department. Actually, that is not my, you know, intention, and I just hope that, you know, I have not, or this committee has not appeared as such. As being defensive, and we want to be in an audit committee that is effective as well, because it is not going to serve the department, the executive or authority, even us as well as the committee, to be a non-effective committee. So we might as well not even take, you know, the task. So when we took the task on the 3rd of January 2019. We up to the task because we want to assist the department. We want to see the department turning around as well from the non-financial and financial, you know, perspective, risk and so forth, governance matters as well. So even from the non-compliance perspective. So really our we just want to show the committee that we don't want to be the committee that is defensive. And we, you know, I also take, you know, constructive feedback as the committee as well, where the members feel that maybe we have not, you know, been strong, you know, in providing all oversight in such areas. In some of the areas, we take that, and I mean we still have the sense that we also need to make sure that we are strong in such an area. So having said that, taking action, and I have said this before, all honourable members, that you know when we take action, we do take action. You know, and also we don't want, actually I have also said that there is what we call the combined assurance principle, which then talks to the provision of assurance. As a committee, you know, I am also one of the lines of defense up until, you know, it reaches the executive authority and the portfolio committee. So I am, the committee is one of the assurance providers. But how that principle works is we don't want to be duplicating efforts and work. So hence we have the AG who's also playing their role. We also have internal audit that is also playing their role, and also us as the line of defense, and also management, the department is also one of the lines of the defense. So in responding to that, you know, just because there are issues, you know, and the committee, we will assess. So at the end of the day, if the investigation must be done by an internal audit, you allow that. If that should be done by this line of defense, you allow that. So what else I was trying to say is just because there is this issue of irregular expenditure, then we all jump and we do investigation. Yes, based when we assess and we engage with the department, there will be those, you know, critical issues, not just visible, but also critical, where really we will have to take that, especially from the independence point of view, because even those irregular expenditure on the non-compliance, as the committee, we will also assess who's involved, who's responsible, who's implicated. Then we find a point, where the committee will have to then, continue investigation. But for now, because there is a legislative framework and there are processes which are clearly done, because also look into the financial resources. You don't want the internal audit to be doing the same thing, and after be doing the same thing, and that you need to be doing the same thing, because there should be a wasteful of financial resources. But we do take note of the fact that maybe the committee feels that the committee will not be fighting hard enough. So we will look into that, but we want to be an effective committee as well. Where action, you know, over and above needs to be taken, we will definitely do that, because it's also in the interest of the department and also in the interest of the committee to make sure that we turn around things. And, you know, we also that the administration that we run on is also clean. Thank you, Chair.
I think you want to make a proposal that your committee should come and report to us with regards to the matters that are raised by the Auditor General to tell us the progress. When honourable members? That is done, Pe. Otherwise, I'll say good night.
Two weeks
from now. 2 weeks.
Yes. Because
Chairperson.
So let's just plead that the committee allows us to have our meeting that is scheduled around the 28th of October, you know, before the end of October, to, you know, to look into this and then we can then report. So, Chair,
first week of November. It's next month. First week of November. Minister is there, Deputy Minister is here. We are expecting your committee to be to come and give us a progress report. Yeah, I'm sure that will work better for us, so that you know we don't give you 3 months, because if you want to push this department to do things, on how are you going to deal with the... what are you saying? Are you talking? Oh, okay. If you don't push you, that means that the department will be slow in dealing with issues. So, Minister, first week of November, this committee must come and report. I want to suggest, questions that are supposed to be responded to by the department. Let the department respond to those questions after they have presented their report. No.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so that we can manage time. Because yesterday we went overboard. The time that was booked for was, you know, we did not adhere to it, and it's money. Yeah. So today we want to manage time. So Minister, I want to give you an opportunity to say something before you leave, because the department, the way the things are looking, we're not satisfied about the report of the Auditor General. And the Chief and the Deputy Minister, you are going to account on why things are not happening this way, are happening the other way. So that at the end of the day, you know, we must not separate you from the official. Nani, you must take your responsibility. And you know, the bad part is that, you know, as ACDG, it's just unfortunate that if PSMA says you are accountable for each and everything that is happening in the department, and some of the things have happened when you were not the acting DG, but at the end of the day you have to account. But you know, the fortunate part of it is that the former acting DG is here. So today both of you are going to account. Because at one stage you were an acting DG, at one stage she was an acting DG, and now she's an acting DG. You know, this thing is not done because we want to fight people. Ne? We are trying to help each other here. Because really, when you see the Auditor General giving us an audit report like this, audit outcomes that are like this, it doesn't look well. And you know, people outside, they will think that even us as members of parliament, we're not doing our oversight the way it's supposed to be done. So, Minister, over to you before we break for Ninaniti tea. Yes, so we lunch, man. So when we see a break, lunch, and then department here present the department up until they are set. So I think you must go and tell those people that when we break here, it's lunch.
Authority, executing authority, and
the department, me and the deputy minister, our day job is also to see that people are feeling our presence outside. Do that which the executive authority is expected to do, but also monitor the performance of the officials in the department. As recent, I've been quietly briefed and criticized you're making money by the deputy minister, not in full because we started much earlier than I arrived. We will continue doing the work you expect us to do. Not that someone else was appointed in January, someone else was appointed in this and that month. We are closing a chapter of women. We have the agency to start working on the Department of Women, Youth and Disabled People. So we will listen, and I have good listeners behind me also here to walk with you this journey. Because repeat findings says every quarter will also be getting progress of what is it that needed to be done 3 months ago, and why are we in the next quarter and we are not getting feedback before we expect other committees, including the AG, to be reporting on our annual report on repeat findings, on things that we should have done. Your responsibility is not to applaud us. You are a committee that must look at the good and the not so good. We will also be looking at the good, continue doing the good, and fix that which needs fixing, or that which is broken. I thank you for the opportunity, Jeff, because you might have chosen to say, hi, she's just alive, let her go back to where she comes from. But you made me just say that there's absolutely nothing I want to question about this discussion. Safe to say, we are all in this for the people. And we have a duty to perform from whichever corner we are sitting. We are all here for the good of ordinary South Africans who don't have an opportunity or who have never been given an opportunity to get on a plane and get to Cape Town or drive to wherever, but to work for the vulnerable people and we move on. Women, youth, and people with disabilities, they are waiting for action while we should be looking at the financial running of the department. They also want to hear and wonder what does this department do for us. So we have a responsibility to also do the day job. And these officials, they must, the CFO, she should be the CFO, but also know that she is the CFO of a department that deals with vulnerable. I just chose the CFO. I could have said ex-DG. We work daily on this issue of ICT, the vacant posts. We need to conclude on that matter, but I'll allow time for the department to talk to you, because yes, we are the executive authority, but we have women and a few men who work for the department daily. They must be office blocked. They must also be remembering what the change day job is. Even a CFO job to sit and go nowhere. Yes. But there are responsibilities where you also have to go and check what was this money used for. I've been unable to answer this question for so many months. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to just say good afternoon.
Okay, Honorable Sharif, Mam Kawana, and Honorable PT, and Honorable Masiko.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Minister, I don't know if you're going to come back after.
I wish I could come back. I'll try and come back if I could finish with the other questions.
The reason why I'm asking this, Honorable Minister, is because after going through the annual report of the department is ineffective in carrying out its mandate. You know, Minister, you speak about how we need to be cognizant of the fact that there are women, there are youth, and there are people with disabilities out in South Africa that are relying on your department to make their lives a little bit easier. You know, to ensure that systems and laws are implemented in order to make them feel safer. To ensure that whatever issues across government in any department speaks to women, youth, people with disabilities, and the LGBTIQA+, that this department plays the role of not only of oversight, but also on monitoring and evaluation, on everything. So for example, when the committee does oversight, when we all do our own individual oversight in promises, for example, this is just one example, on DNA kits. You know, if the department, you know, the department always says, do not service delivery department, then what does the department do, Minister? Do reports, do draft reports, put together frameworks, go have events, 365-day events, pop-up events where they're there for one day, and then we don't know where the department is after that. Is that the whole mandate of the department? I don't think it should be. It can't be that a whole department only gets targets achieved on making reports and sending quarterly reports, doing annual reports, and having a monitoring and evaluation framework, which in fact is so wrong. For 5 years, more than 5 years, what this says to us as South Africans is that the department is ineffective in dealing with issues when it comes to women, youth, and people with disabilities. Yesterday, I said to the CG, to the CGE, that as a young South African woman, I don't feel safe in this country. Even though I'm an MP, that doesn't matter. When I walk into the streets, or I cross the road, or I go to the shop to buy bread, my position in society doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm vulnerable as a young woman. And the department has done nothing to make life a little bit easier. Nothing. And so my question to you, Minister, is what is your turnaround strategy to take this department and make it effective for women, youth, and people living with disabilities in this country? Because it has been, Minister. And if the department's role is to create reports, that takes 4 years to do draft frameworks, that uses money to bloat their workforce, then I think that we are going in the wrong direction and that the department should be scrapped and all the money be given to the CGE because they are actually on the ground. They are actually in provinces. They do and that make life a little bit easier for South Africans when I feel that the department has failed.
Minister, calling out to the
president, I don't know if I'm going to be a good one. God, I'm going to be a shout of a word.
Oh, okay.
Minister,
yes,
engizocela mina ukusho nokuthi vele la sizoyishaya ngendlebe entsheni phahla 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 ayikho into ezokwenza uma ulandela la ulandela ubuka amarepoti la akubika ngisho 2011 okuya phezulu ko-2015 to 16 kungekho ngomnyamalisi ayikho into eyenzekayo khona benginalo ithemba mase ngibona u-chairperson nomusha okhona ngazisa ukuthi mhlambe kukhona okuzokwenzeka yes ngishiso ukuthi nosento ye-ages bengiyibhekelele sangathi I'm sorry ngazi badakwethu kuzomphaphalami but njengemuntu owazela emhlabeni ukukhuluma khona lokukhuluma ngathi ngisho leyo ngabona kulo mnyanga sibona usenkingeni minister ngabona manje ukhuluma ngama-event azobasesikhuphula i-event minister ayimsizi nalutho umuntu ukuthi omimsize kusizakala ngomuntu omnikazwa amabhasi omnikazwa amathende ozokwenza ama-catering nento ekhona la ekhuluma nge-catering ukuthi kwakune-event lanase sibuze ukuthi yayikuphi nangayo catering yayinike bani uzothotha njena ngisho umuntu wasemphakathini mina ngokwami minister lento ayilabi sihlobo sami ngibona lento ingeke yangisiza lo mnyango ukuthi abantu emnyango bahluphekile indaba ama-event iphelile ngibonile yenzeka kodyabela kuthiwa bonke abanamabhizinisi cooperative kanjalo kanjalo abantu besifazane abeze nawo bazothola umsebenzi bazonikezwa bahamba bathi bwani baboleka imali barejiste beyohamba ongena ngisho umnyangweni kafeja umsebenzi ma wuphuma abawutholi kuyimanje njengoba ngikhuluma nabo kunabantu basesirayeti abantu besifazane banomhlamulelo bafuna ukulima akasayi amba amanga la basengenza izinto zonke nalawo ma-event abantu laba bayakhona benethemba bazogcina ngokudla amba ama-food. Ekugcineni umali abagenayo yilona obize i-eventi waqasha amathende wagitshelwa amabhasi akwezulu abatholi lutho mina lana thina lento ye-practical lento yesiyo asisayidingi mina bayahlupheka abantu abone noma bekanjalo zomtshoshela nje abantu iy'ngane zethu ifundile ziqedile esikoleni bese-UK ZNWA zifundile iy'ngane ezinye sezize zithi fest iyaqhubeka ziyafunda ngoba ikinto esizoyela kodwa imisebenzi aziyitholi zengasho zithi y'funda mhlawumbe nemisebenzi leyokuthi engcono-ke ziphume zibe onjiniri wazi ukuthi uma umuntu omnyama isekhona lesithi usengaba nesikireti sasuma injiniyeri kodwa kwazi ukuthola umsebenzi ube ulokhuza uwenza awutholi umsebenzi ngoba le nto ye-racism la eSouth Africa yinto yakhona engeke iphele thina funa manje minister umuntu ozothi mangikhawuzi baba abantu besifazane ukuthi nango uthi mnyango agriculture nabo abantu besafuna ukulima sicela la bantu balina kuze baqeda indlala kuze bayenga abantu kwiimali masezivule sakulinye esihlala ungabona kokuphela la bantu abahlala otshwaleni kokuphela la marefu kuyokuphela zonke izinto umuntu uzokhathala abamasport esibafaka umasport bathole samthini ogogo kuyimanje bayayithanda ukwenza izinto kodwa manje asikutholi nezinto ziyaphuma kodwa zili kubona bantu nento minisa mina yakho yasesikhukhuni anishilunga yini nami nepolisi yenu but mina njengoma mkhawula ayingilaphi ngoba ade enziwa ama-event kuyimanje kune-event la ma singabuza ndise-event yayenziwe kuphi obani ababekhetharisha lapho kwabi malini kwakwenziwani ngeke usingitshele kobuye zosizodlala bona oma-odita la beshaye inokhuzane idaiveso beshonisa beshonisayo ngoba into ekhona kufuneka lana ini itheory not practical
To that particular issue. We take the blame with you. That's what happens to us out there. So it's not to say that we are here to fight. No, we are not here to fight. But if this department doesn't work, we are also going to be attacked outside by our own constituents, because there's youth. I represent youth. I'm a youth leader. So if this department fails because there's unauthorized expenditure, you know, just disappearing, irregular expenditure, no competitiveness within the suppliers that the department is trying to use, it's a problem for me. So we have to talk about the finances of the department because they're important. We have to talk about the financial health of the department because it's important. It connects. So, Minister, please, when you do go back, look at these issues that we are raising with you. Look at the fact that Program 2 has gone back in terms of its achievements, has done worse than the previous financial year. It can't be good as a core program. Something must be done about that. It cannot be good that we are hearing presentations of recurring issues that have been happening in the department for many years and act as if it's okay. It's not okay. It's not normal. It's not normal to speak about irregular expenditure as it's just another thing. It's not just another thing. It affects us. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. There's a point to be made that yes, the work of the department must be on the ground, but if in fact the administration is failing to follow its own internal procedures and protocols, there is a fundamental problem with the direction of the department. So when we go out there, we need to be proud to say we are in this committee because it's working for the people that we are representing, for the vulnerable people that it's supposed to be representing. And right now it's not. And there are many reasons why it could not be working. Many of them are relevant and are acceptable because we know the history of how this department, or the history that this department has come to. So some of the issues and mistakes are not because of the people within the department. It's just a matter of history. But some things are, and those things we need to intervene and fix them with immediacy. So please, Minister, please take what we're saying and really lift the intervention mechanisms. This is probably our ninth or tenth committee meeting. We can't speak about the same things over and over again. So please, can we get things right? Can we make sure that we fix the things that we need to fix? Can we make sure that we have been honest in our reporting to this committee? Because there's also those issues. Fundamental and great discrepancies that we are seeing in what is being reported by the department, in what is being found by the AG. Those are grave concerns. Those are grave concerns where the department is telling us it's achieved targets that it hasn't. And quite importantly, I this morning was called out for reporting incorrect targets because they wanted to run off the meeting the point of saying we've achieved our target. It was all over the news. I don't want that to be this department because it can be. It's proven, it's in the AG's report, that two targets have been reported to be achieved when they have not been. That is a fundamental issue that we need to deal with, that you need to be able to sit down and really ask yourself what is happening. The financial health for me is the biggest issue and concern right now. And let us be able to center ourselves in this conversation because we in this committee, youth, women, people with disabilities are looking at us and the conversation is in front of us and we have to do something about it. And we need to assist the CGE as well. We cannot leave the CGE to fend for itself because they've got great programs. If we need to bring the alignment of the department and the CGE, let's do it, so that we can help each other and not operate in silos. Yes, they're an independent institution, but I mean, if we can help bring these things together and get the work done, then let's do it. I've volunteered myself to the department as well. Whatever program, we are willing to help you, we are willing to get our hands dirty. But if the things are not going to change, if every time we must complain about the same issues, the same problems over and over and over again, we will also get tired. We will also then say, okay, then let it be political. Let's play politics. So I'd really like, Minister, that you take that in, and thank you so much for being able to make yourself available.
Minister, now it's time to come and actual. This is seen to.
So that you can get to know what are the good things that we admired and we appreciated yesterday, which can also help the department.
Chairperson, yes. Let me thank you once again. CCP are supposed to be independent, but luckily this crew got in almost at the same time with us. So I listen to members of the portfolio committee. Issues that you raise are that which keeps me, I know, awake. And they ask me, I think you, I have listened to you. This is what your day to report. And we have met in the department. There's no time to say, I wasn't there. We are here now. We have to leave a mark on things that we have to do. Problem is, when you are in different and independent bodies, when you come here, you must report on this, and you want to take that report separately. Certainly. On CGE and women. There's no way you can separate what we do, but we are cooperating, because as much as we have to be in different portfolios, but we mean to work as one. You will receive this report and receive that. In the past few months that I've been here, I hear more of the, I appreciate more of the call, Yabume Kaula and all of those members, on things we should be doing. We are not going to another Mkhithi. We have to advocate, but also monitor. Because the things you are raising, issues you are raising, I can't respond to them in full, in writing, or when we come back. If I finish, I pray that we finish that meeting, because it started an hour earlier when I wasn't there. But I don't want not to account or appeal, because that's an opportunity to capture some other area to say, you are making our responsibility difficult. The things you have raised here, unemployed youth, disabled people, I have them in my family. So there's no time, Makaula, for me to be sitting outside when the inside is nice, because I have no nice place. I see my cousins on wheelchairs. I see my own children continue to having to go back to school, get another degree, because they can't get jobs. But South Africa has to one day come to speaking as one. One voice, after many voices, one message. At the moment, it's like we are going back to ownership of those who own. Makaula, you made an example of the place we call Makepis. If Makepis, you mean the one I know. Next of all, I have not known that thing. But the real owner, wants our people to live that way. Third generation, same old. So I let me respond in full on. Not what we have not done. Yes, irregular and other expenditures that shouldn't have been. You can't close that by saying, I am arrived, I'm new, because it will recur. When I gave an example with the CFO, I did say, I don't remember, but I'm just making an example. It's a responsibility to sit around and watch what's going on. But as for our old and recurring problems. If they are financial, they need to be attended to. If it's about vacancies, we are ready to respond to. Up to the top, we have to act, and we are aware that we have to. But as for reaching out to our people, if somebody says, yes, no, 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 test kids have been delivered to all universities. If we don't arrive, maybe it wasn't that everybody has, or even the policemen who are sitting in the police station, when those kids arrive, do they have just a basic training on how to use those things? They can stay in the same room. And our people are being raped and maimed outside. I can attest to you that we're not sitting here with rapists. Because Minister Mtun organized a march of senior civil servants. By the time we reached the Union Building, there were two women who were saying, what do we do? We don't want to go back home. Why? Because two of our are here and marching with us. So our problems are that huge. As long as we have the thinking that I have listened to you and we are working as one, it is upon us all, wherever we live, that this particularly this gender-based violence, not our day today, it was a day for the FCT report. How did it escalate itself to a point where we had to do a sitting in the president's office and President responded? He responded by saying department must go find something to put in the kitchen. So it is our responsibility to raise issues loud. And he didn't just arrive in parliament. He also got all political parties into a meeting because gender-based violence knows no political party. Our churches get our people to pray together, but when they finish, they want to know, when they see government, the service gets extended because they want us not to just in the weekend where we live, but they want to be assured that they are with their leaders where the platform is building. So, Chair, I want to thank you once again because you said this meeting was agenda one. It's password. Thank you.
Because we are waiting, we are not praying.
Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members. Let's break for lunch. We'll come back at 5 seconds. So we'll come back at what time? 5:20. We'll come back at 2:15. I don't know.